woman can survive, they may find. In the year 35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pills you took today. In the year 45, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to choose. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 55, your arms hanging limp at your side. Your legs got nothing to do.
Want to take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, our trip into the world of nanotechnology is not a voluntary ride. So perhaps we should rephrase the opening there. Huh. This is a ride you're on, like it or not.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Has your hair been looking thinner? Here's Dr. Gordon, medical director at the Hair and Skin Treatment Center in New York, with some exciting news. What makes people lose their hair is a bad body chemical called dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT. At our center, we have developed Avacor, an all-natural herbal treatment that stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle. You start regrowing new hair in the balding areas, guaranteed. In 5 years of clinical testing, Avacor shows a 90% success rate in both men and women. Avacor is all natural and completely safe and effective. Stop your hair loss and start regrowing a full, healthy head of hair today. Call 800-879-9950. See how this remarkable, risk-free treatment can help you regrow your hair. Call 800-879-9950. That's 800-879-9950.
If you can find a faster weight loss product and prove it without copying any of TrimSpa's amazing patent-pending ingredients, TrimSpa will give you $110,000.
Call 1-800-TRIMSPA and at last have the body you've always dreamed of.
$110,000 TrimSpa Challenge. Plus, all-natural TrimSpa comes with a weight loss 110% money-back guarantee. When you absolutely, positively gotta lose the weight, get TrimSpa at TrimSpa.com or call 1-800-TRIMSPA.
For bods that are hot.
On the line with me is Bill Konigsberg, father of two, Geico auto insurance customer. Bill, you saved money with Geico, enough to put your kids through college?
Well, no.
But your kids will benefit, right?
I guess.
You heard it. Parents who love their children switch to Geico. If you'd like to see the light in a young child's eyes, not to mention possible savings of 15% or more, call 1-800-947-AUTO. 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico Direct, the sensible alternative.
As promised, now back to Mark Pesce. And Mark, anytime I ever bring a guest on here, I just want to give them an opportunity to plug a book or plug whatever they've got going. In your case, I know you've got a website. Anything else?
Well, the book, The Playful World, which has been out for 6 months, it's in cover.
And is it generally available in bookstores?
It should be available in most bookstores nationwide. It's carried by all the major chains, and you can buy it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com if you want to get it online.
Where you get deep discounts.
You do.
People with computers already have advantages, disproportionate advantages to people without them, don't they?
In general, we're starting to see, I guess, what people are calling a knowledge gap. People who have computers, if you think about a child.
But it's a money gap, too. I mean, I can go buy your book for cheap on Amazon, but if I don't have a computer, I've got to go to a bookstore.
Yes, yeah, and you've got to pay the full list price.
Same deal with airplane fares. You can go get very cheap airplane fares on the web. I mean, really cheap compared to what you'll pay at a travel agency.
Although more of this information is starting to migrate now to voice systems on the telephone, so that the web and the telephone over the next years will start to become more and more indistinguishable, so that anyone who has access to a telephone will have access to the same kind of rich information and rich discounts.
Isn't it rather likely with broadband that when that arrives for most Americans, let's say, that your telephone won't even be going over a phone line anymore?
That's absolutely right. More and more the phone network is looking like the Internet.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, here we go. On the international line, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Where are you, please?
I'm from Australia. I'm in Melbourne. It's Andy here.
Melbourne, Australia. All right. Well, welcome to the show. You have a question?
Yeah, well, as you were saying a minute ago, computer people do, we do have advantages, but we already have problems with bots in IRC kicking us and all sorts of dramas going on left, right, and center with those mob. So what I was wanting to know also...
Can we stop for just a second with bots in IRC? All right, IRC is Internet Chat Relay, or Internet Relay Chat, or whatever it is. Anyway, it's a place where people gather on the Internet, and they have what are called bots. And these bots keep control of things when humans aren't around. You know about those, right, Mark?
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't know whether a lot of the audience, not computer savvy, wouldn't have known, but the bots are already there on these groups. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, yeah, well, they're basically ruling us in the Art Bell IRC chat room already.
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
It can happen. What I would like to know is about if there's software for these this nanotechnology, you know, if we're going to have a problem as such as a Microsoft software and buggy beta testing and all sorts of drama with it, or if it's chemical or how it works.
Well, right now they're thinking to design nanocomputers not along the lines of computers as we think of them, with electrons flowing across silicon surfaces, but in fact they're taking a page out of the very first computers, which were built out of mechanical parts. If you think about an old mechanical adding machine, perhaps people remember these from the 1950s and the 1960s, they were wheels and gears.
Yes.
And in fact, it seems that the right way to make a nanocomputer is to build it out of these very small components in wheels and gears, wheels of carbon and other elements that would work together in the same way. So in a sense, although they're much faster than the computers we see today, they are mechanical. Now, as to software testing, we're going to have exactly the same issues with buggy software that we do in the world with our computers today. And that perhaps is the biggest problem, because even if we manage to effectively prevent someone from producing something that's toxic with nanotechnology, that doesn't mean that a computer with bad software can't do it.
So then the blue screen of death in the year 2050 might be gray goo.
The gray goo of death.
Oh, jeez. All right, on the international line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Hello, I'm calling from Australia again, just like your last caller there.
Yes, sir.
In Darwin.
Oh, Darwin, all right.
Yes. My name's Aaron, by the way, and I've got a question relating to nanotechnology.
All right.
Basically, isn't a part of life the struggles we face in order to reach our wants and needs? So isn't creating this instantaneous gratification removing a part of our existence?
A social question. In other words, without the wants and needs that we struggle for today, if these wants and needs are all delivered to us so easily in the future, then what happens to human struggle? A good question.
Aaron's making a very good point, Art. There's no question that the way we visualize or philosophize about what human ends are, what our purpose is in the world, is going to be radically redefined by a pervasive nanotechnology. That you're essentially saying that part of what constitutes human need is just there. It's there like the air that you breathe. But we also think that if you take a look at the pyramid of needs, this was constructed by Maslow back in the 1930s, breathing is at the very bottom. We don't really normally worry about breathing.
No.
And so in the same way, the other material needs for housing, for food,
yes,
are going to be, in a sense, subsumed down to that level. Mm-hmm. And so we will focus on the higher end of that, which is creativity, expression, the more artistic pursuits.
Doesn't sound like a big world for the blue-collar worker.
Well, if you take a look at the whole sort of progression of American culture over the last 50 years has progressively reduced the role of the blue-collar worker.
Well, I know, but that would eliminate it.
There's no question that within a generation of a widespread nanotechnology, people would not be fabricating things per se.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hello.
Hello. My name is Michael. I'm calling from Norfolk, Virginia.
Yes, Michael.
In your conversation tonight, Mark, with Art, you've done two rather significant things. You've made the case for one world government in a more powerful way than it has ever been made on this program and on almost any other program.
Yep.
In the United States. And that, of course, is something that frightens a lot of religious people, people who believe in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
particularly religious conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
But the case that you've made is, it can't be argued. This is something that is inevitable.
It can be argued and fought over. I mean, that's a reason right there for a war, and you know it.
Yeah, but...
Let's ask him about that. You really have, as the caller points out, made the case for a one-world government, the necessity for it. Before tackling any kind of technology like this, yes?
I really actually disagree. I have the same, I think, very natural qualms about centralization of authority in this kind of system. I don't think that's the answer, because I don't think that any centralized state can be so omniscient as to prevent something from happening. I think what you need is as much decentralization as possible.
Well, let me just make my point about it. People have been thinking about this. Serious thinkers have been thinking about it for well over 50 years and actually working towards that because they find it as an unavoidable thing. The problem is we can't talk about one world government as such, so we talk about free trade. But realists in the world today know that we must go in this direction for the dangers that you have pointed out here tonight, and your own arguments argue against you. I won't attempt to do it in this short space of time. But I would like to make another point. Your discussion of technology has also made another very significant point. You have made the case for the 3,500-year-old Genesis account of Moses and the Tower of Babel. And because you have made this so effectively by saying that, yes, what mankind is doing is actually recreating Genesis in his own time. And because you have done this, you have given people who are religious conservatives out there and all kinds of religious people who are normally very paranoid about this thing an opportunity to enter into the discussion, to think more rationally about it, not be knee-jerk in their reaction to the whole idea of one world government. And actually, we can begin now talking about a one world radio program on the lines of Coast to Coast AM, which will begin introducing the entire world simultaneously to the ideas, opportunities, and problems that we're talking about right now.
I've even got the new name, sir. From Coast to Coast to Coast to Coast to Coast to Coast to Coast.
Well, I think instead of looking at 20 million people in the Art Bell audience, we ought to start seriously and realistically talking about a 2 billion person audience.
Well, I'll tell you, my network is working on it, sir. I can't reveal any more than that right now, but... trust me when I tell you, from coast to coast to coast to coast is closer than you might imagine. His first point was an interesting point. And how would you make the case, Mark, that the kind of technology you're talking about wouldn't necessitate a single control and a very strong control at that?
There's a lovely line. It's my favorite line in the entire Star Wars trilogy when Princess Leia turns to General Tarkin and says, "The more you tighten your grip, the more star systems slip through your fingers."
Yeah.
When you impose order,
uh-huh.
you escalate chaos, and that's probably the worst of all possible situations.
Yes, but chaos...
I would say... think, want to have as many different centers working on different problems as possible. They may want to be coordinated. We can see with the Internet the kinds of loose coordination, or even in the nanotechnology community, the kinds of loose coordination where researchers are aware of each other's work. They're trying to engender public discussion, public awareness, public debate. I think the idea of having a radio program where people can be educated about these issues is incredibly beneficial. It's a thing that should happen.
I agree. But, I mean, you're such a social optimist, I can't believe it. I mean, somehow you see things that just aren't happening today, aren't even trending today, and you're applying them to, you know, this incredible new technology. And I don't know. I guess the glass is just always half full for you, huh, Mark?
You can't say that, Art. I definitely have my nightmares. I've lived with the ideas of this. Part of the reason I'm well-versed in nanotechnology is because I was around when the key people involved in inventing it were actually inventing it. This was back at MIT in the very early 1980s.
But, Mark, as long as we have separate nation states and rogue nation states, and that difference and that separation, this kind of technology, I mean, begin to apply the probabilities, go crunch the numbers on, you know, somebody like Gaddafi getting hold of something like this. And as long as the nation states are all separate, you've got to imagine that as a possibility, then your chaos numbers are really going to get you.
But in a sense, you haven't even gone far enough. It's not rogue nations that we necessarily need to worry about, but as you pointed out earlier, the rogue human beings. Even
yeah,
if
rogue,
we had
rogue,
one world government.
Rogue Harry down the street.
Exactly. Is that one world government going to be so powerful and so omniscient that it could keep the chains on every single person? I mean, I don't think, A, that anyone wants that, and B, I don't think that's actually possible. And so I think we're confronted with the fact that we are what we are.
Okay, well then, that in itself is a social comment. We're absolutely stubborn individuals who would never allow anything like that to happen, even though it was on the way, and so we'll be then the same stubborn individuals who'll be toying with this new technology.
Who will be toying with all aspects of it, though. We'll be toying with the upsides and the downsides. And I think that if you can encourage as much breadth, if you have children who understand this.
Yeah, but how many bad days with gray goo do you need?
Well, it's a question, how many bad days does your body have with bacteria? A lot of them, and yet your body manages to survive. And I think that if we look toward the natural world, we can see that we can sustain certain types of injuries. There might be some that would be a knockout punch, but most of them our body is prepared for. Even for the ones we aren't prepared for, our body learns, adapts, and attacks. I think that's the metaphor. I think that's the reason why I have this optimism.
All right.
Because we can look to the natural world.
All right, I'm not doing this enough. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Good evening, Art. This is Chris in Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Listening to you at 640 KFI AM radio.
That's the way to do it.
Okay, let's. You guys have touched the subject that I'd like to get into. It's a little bit more on the wild side of this. This gray goo matter is pretty terrifying, but let's look at something else. What if we could take the nanotechnology, release it into a human body, it goes into our fat cells or sperm cells, whatever, and learns the T cells and becomes a cell management system that we can control. So as we're aging and if there's any heart defects, the nanotechnology reports it, say, to a wristband that we wear, and it alerts us, and it automatically gets, we give it a signal and approval to go ahead and do the repairs. Now we take it a step further. Say we want to have available to us programs that we can insert. For example, we want to become a cat for an hour. We want to play with our cat.
Huh.
And we put in the program, and the nanos go in, and for an hour we become an animal of our choice. Or say we want to become a football player. We can increase our size and our mass through the nanotechnology. Okay? Now, to take it a little bit further, say this device we wear becomes an interface to computers or to communicating with other people.
Certainly is going to destroy the steroid market.
But, you know, what about these people who have frozen themselves and they're waiting for the technology to cure their diseases? I mean, this would probably be the only thing that could be capable of doing, reviving them. Or a dead person, you know, what if it would be pretty scary if we could inject it into Einstein's remains and rebuild his body, all of a sudden he comes to life, you know, and what kind of out-of-body experience would he talk about?
It's funny that you should mention this. The first major book on nanotechnology called The Engines of Creation was published in 1986. I read a very early draft of it in 1983, and there was an entire chapter which talked about exactly this. It was basically debating how much of the remains of someone did you need before you could reanimate them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I read that chapter. I was frightened by it. And yet, at the same time, you can see that when the technology is sufficiently advanced, those kinds of applications become very easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've got my wheel spinning. I don't know about you guys, but who needs a hologram if you can just become something?
So right. Then, in other words, if you had enough of a person's just basic DNA, which could come from blood or hair or skin scrapings or whatever, that might be enough information to rebuild a duplicate of that person, a real duplicate, not a clone, but a duplicate, right?
Well, clearly, if you're talking about the person is a combination of the body. It's not just the genes. If you're talking about Einstein, I mean, I think they have Einstein's brain in a jar somewhere.
They do.
And so it's conceivable that you could reanimate someone with sufficient remains. Again, we think that most of the qualities of the person are kept inside the brain, although there's some argument about where it all is. So it wouldn't necessarily be completely faithful. But it would be a reasonable facsimile.
You have a way of describing nanotechnology, which is both at the same time frightening and very understandable for the average person. I've had other experts on, and they engage in language that the average person simply cannot understand. So you articulate this very well. Did you do that in your book?
Yes, that was really one of the main theses of my book, was to take these ideas that have been, in a sense, locked in the ivory towers and put them in terms that everyone can understand, because I look at children's toys and I show how children's toys like Legos can be used as a metaphor for understanding what nanotechnology is.
Legos, huh?
Legos.
All right, listen, Mark, we're at a juncture point where I always ask my guests, and you know, I can't even, where are you?
Los Angeles.
You're in L.A.
I am.
All right. I always ask my guests right here whether they want to do the final hour or they've done too much and they're ready to rest. You don't sound ready to rest.
No, you've got my wheels turning.
And they turn pretty quickly at that. All right, then hold it right there. We'll come back and do another hour. I'm Art Bell.
In America.
Indeed, only in America.
And a guy from anywhere.
Actually, that may not be true.
And wake up.
Wonder what the Chinese are doing right now
in
this area.
And a kid without a sense, get a break and maybe grow up to be president.
Of course, fortunately for us, they're very socially advanced over there in communist China now, and we don't really need to worry about what they're doing with this kind of stuff, right?
In America, and a kid who's washing pots, take a giant step and reach right up and down. In America,